Welcome to this week's DBM Strategy Call, everyone. If you took your eyes off the screens this past week, you may have missed the shift. We've been talking about the concentration in the AI trait for months, and this week it seems the dam finally broke.
It really did, John. The institutional money moving out of big tech didn't just evaporate. It started hunting for completely different asset classes. And for the first time in a while, the digital asset space is reaping the rewards of that exit. We have lots to unpack today, including a massive tech rotation, the usual geopolitical theater, and some deep dive insights on how the petrodollar is quietly being restructured behind the scenes. Let's break it down by separating the macro reality from the geopolitical chessboard.
Okay, first up, the macro picture, a tech route versus inflation relief. Let's start with the broader markets because the numbers are staggering. The rotation out of AI finally caught up with the indices. The S&P 500 dropped more than 1.5% on the week. The NASDAQ got hit even harder, down 2.9%, and the Dow was off nearly 1%. But the real headline here is the SOX Semiconductors Index. It officially slid into a bear market, down over 20% from its recent highs.
What's wild is the irony of how the week started. On Tuesday, we got the June CPI data, and it was a massive downside surprise. Headline inflation dropped 0.4% on the month, the largest monthly decline we've seen since the height of the pandemic in April 2020. That pulled the annual inflation rate down to 3.5% from May's 4.2%, while core CPI flattened out to 2.6% annually. For a moment, the market celebrated because it essentially killed off any remaining bets for a July rate hike.
Right, but that CPI relief lasted all of 5 minutes before the tech route resumed. The chip sell-off turned into an absolute waterfall by Friday. Industry titans like Micron, Broadcom, AMD, KLA, and Marvell all took massive hits. The street is aggressively questioning whether the projected AI infrastructure spend can actually justify recent valuations.
And we can't ignore the catalyst on Friday, the open-source release of Kimi K3. It's billing itself as the world's most powerful open-source AI model that completely reignited fears that the defensive moats around expensive, proprietary AI software and the hardware underpinning them might be a lot thinner than Wall Street priced in.
Exactly. Look at IBM. It crashed a staggering 25% on Tuesday alone, marking its worst single trading day since 1968. They pre-announced Q2 results that missed consensus across the board, posting an adjusted EPS of $2.93 on $17.2 billion in revenue. CEO Arvind Krishna straight up told investors, "This quarter, we faltered." Crucially for our thesis, IBM explicitly blamed customers shifting capital away from legacy software and mainframe products to fund AI servers and memory.
Meanwhile, as expected, legacy finance is getting back to printing money. Bank earnings were spectacular, even if they were completely ignored by the tech panic. Goldman Sachs turned in the best quarter in its corporate history, with an EPS of $20.98, nearly double what they did last year. JP Morgan booked a record net income of $21.2 billion, with equity trading revenues surging 86%. Yet, showing how sour the broader market mood was, JP Morgan shares slid 2.5% after they raised their forward expense guidance. Peck simply dragged everything down.
Let's pivot to the geopolitical front and apparently managed energy choke points. What's happening in the Middle East is directly tied to the macro inflation story. The fragile ceasefire that reopened the Strait of Hormuz back in June has completely collapsed. The U.S. military executed 7 consecutive nights of airstrikes on Iran, reinstated a full naval blockade of Iranian ports, and reportedly struck an oil tanker near Iran's main export terminal for the first time since the blockade went active.
Iran didn't sit on its hands either. They retaliated with direct attacks on U.S. bases located in Kuwait, Jordan, and Bahrain. They even struck a critical desalination plant in Kuwait, and have reportedly told the Houthis in Yemen to prepare for widespread disruptions in the Red Sea if the U.S. targets domestic Iranian power grids.
Think about that. 2 of the world's most vital maritime shipping choke points are simultaneously active conflict zones. Unsurprisingly, energy markets reacted violently. Brent crude jumped nearly 5% to close near $88 a barrel,
while WTI settled around $82.49. Commercial shipping traffic through the strait was virtually non-existent all week. This heavily complicates the clean disinflation narrative from the June CPI print, because those cool numbers captured energy prices before this massive round of military escalation.
We will keep an eye on events for what it's worth. Now, let's talk about the crypto landscape and the regulatory hurdles impacting our space. The silver lining to the AI trade unwinding is that capital is finally rotating back into digital assets. For months, the consensus narrative was that the AI hype cycle was starving crypto of institutional liquidity. Well, the data shows a clear reversal. Since July 1st, the semiconductor ETF, SOXX, has plummeted 17.6%, while BlackRock's Bitcoin ETF, IBTT, is up 9.5%.
The price action reflected that shift beautifully. Bitcoin spent the week aggressively hammering the $65,000 resistance level, topping out at $64,910 on Thursday before a minor rejection. Ethereum managed to hold its ground firmly right around the $1,800 mark.
On the regulatory and political front, though, it wasn't all clear skies. The Clarity Act ran straight into a wall of political friction in Washington this week. Several Senate Democrats publicly weaponized the bill, labeling it corrupt, while our favorite grandma, Senator Elizabeth Warren, demanded updated disclosures on Donald Trump's personal crypto earnings just ahead of the July 17th House subcommittee hearing. The persistent ethics debates surrounding the Trump family's digital asset holdings remain the primary roadblocks. Passing the bill is still our base case scenario, but the political gridlock just got significantly messier thanks to Trump's shenanigans.
Okay, to close things out this week, we want to look past the mainstream media noise and political theater. Prominent industry figures continue to provide an incredibly distinct framework for reading what is really behind these events. While the evening news portrays the U.S.-Iran clashes as a countdown to World War III, the smart money is viewing this as bounded escalation, and the markets would tend to agree.
That's a vital concept. Bounded escalation means the military actions are tightly constrained parameters designed to force negotiations rather than unmitigated global warfare. The military-industrial complex and the financial elite are pricing this as theater to manage a massive systemic transition. We are watching the engineered sunset of the classic unipolar petrodollar system, moving towards a multipolar world, where the U.S. transitions into a strong but regional power.
Those who care to look at what's happening beneath the geopolitical surface see it. Lazy or complicit journalists and politicians do not. While the political theater plays out on television, alternative currency settlements for oil are skyrocketing. Countries are still pricing oil in U.S. dollars, but they are increasingly settling the transactions in local or alternative currencies.
Indeed, just look at how the flows have shifted. In the old petrodollar cycle, Gulf nations took their dollar oil profits and recycled them straight into U.S. treasuries, effectively financing the Federal Reserve System's ability to manipulate the system for over 60 years. Today, Gulf nations are moving away from treasuries and aggressively buying up U.S. equities instead. Why? Because equities grant them something treasuries never could: voting rights, corporate governance, and structural control.
Exactly. Look at who has been the largest sovereign backers of America's private AI, robotics, and energy infrastructure alongside institutional giants like BlackRock. It's the Gulf states. China has structurally anchored this transition by normalizing diplomatic ties between Iran and Saudi Arabia, bringing the BRICS alliance and the Gulf closer together. Even the domestic setup in the U.S., where political figures like Trump talk up crypto while elite factions map out future regulatory frameworks, points to a heavily managed shift toward a digital, heavily surveilled control grid. The takeaway is simple. Ignore the political theater on the news, follow where the capital is flowing, and preserve your sovereignty using decentralized assets you own privately.
Life is certainly a lot simpler this way, that's for sure. Take control, get educated, and be responsible for your own sound money reserves, and let time and discipline do its thing in protecting your future purchasing power.
That's right.
Okay, to wrap up, looking at the calendar, next week is the ultimate litmus test for the global markets. We have a massive earnings slate featuring Alphabet, Tesla, Intel, IBM, Texas Instruments, and ServiceNow. With the chip sector freshly in a bear market, these corporate reports will show whether this tech drawdown is a healthy brief correction or the start of a fundamental economic shift.
And let's not forget the upcoming FOMC meeting on July 28th through 29th. Now that inflation data has clearly started to roll over, the Fed's rhetoric is going to be the next primary macro catalyst for both equities and Bitcoin. As ever, we just keep doing what we do in stacking Bitcoin and working our digital factories toward more and more ingenious ways to ensure that all-important consistent yield. No live DBM strategy part 2 this week, so be sure to head over to the DBM forum where John and I provide the latest project updates and recommended action steps as we close in on several liquidity events in coming weeks.
Absolutely, Sarah. See you over there and see you next time.